Anyway, let's say hello now to Terry Flanagan, who's at his home in Dublin 15. And I believe, Terry, you were in County Wicklow in Powerscourt Estate.
I was indeed, Derek. I was down in Powerscourt Estate, and I know you've been there many, many times.
I have.
It's a fantastic place. The house itself is set in 1,000 acres, and it includes lots of woodlands and river walks along the Dargal. And of course, it's got Ireland's highest waterfall. In fact, it's one of Ireland's major tourist attractions. Now, I hadn't been there in a long time, so it was great to get the opportunity to revisit it. And it hadn't changed. It was still as beautiful as ever. The tree-lined avenue, the majestic gardens, and of course, the Sugarloaf in the background. I went down to meet Alex Slazenger. The estate is owned by the Slazenger family, and Alex told me that as a child he played among and climbed many of the trees there. Now, he's the head gardener, and his passion for the gardens, and trees in particular, is infectious. I wanted to learn about some of the champion trees that are on the estate, and also a major event entitled Wonder of Trees, which will take place on the weekend of November 2nd and 3rd. Now, it's open to the public, but there is an admission fee.
Now, Terry, here we are at one of our champion trees in the garden.
Now, you say one of our champion trees. Most estates would be delighted to have one champion tree. You have multiples of them.
We do. We have multiple champion trees. So, you know, from Douglas firs right over to one of the rarest conifers in the world, which is a Pinus toriana.
Right.
From near San Diego. Just doesn't grow anywhere, but we've got a fantastic specimen over at the Killing Hollow.
And this one here?
This tree here, it's a weeping holly, so you might think, gosh, that's nothing special. But it's about 180 years old. There's a clear graft mark about a metre up where the weeping holly is attached to the Ilex aquifolium. There's a few things I love about this tree. It's the architecture of the branches, so the way they weave. When holly gets old, it gets this kind of salmon tinge in the bark. And when the sun sets in the evening time around summer in July, it shines on the tree and the whole thing lights up pink. So it's these little things that I love about trees. I love the history of trees, where they came from, who brought them in, why are they here? And we have that in abundance all over the estate.
And the tree that's next to it is a monkey puzzle, and it's the largest monkey puzzle I've ever seen.
Fantastic. Yes, that's it just there. Ericaria araucana, which is the monkey puzzle tree, native to Argentina and Chile. Now, they're slightly endangered in Chile now due to unnatural forest fires, climate change, which is affecting them as well. And you can see this tree here, how big it is.
Yeah, it's a monster.
It's a monster. They don't grow like this in Chile. So a lot of the time when you take a native species out of its natural habitat, it can go one of two ways. It can either thrive or not work. Clearly the monkey puzzle are working in our climate.
And a number of other trees here, foreign trees, so to speak, they are thriving, and it's really down to the weather we have.
It is, yeah. I mean, just I can see in the distance there, we've got Sequoia Dendron Giganteum, which is the mountain redwood. Fantastic, fun tree. I mean, these guys live till 2,000 years old. The ones we have here are babies. They're about 180 years old. But really important tree for our climate now. Conifers will take roughly about 35% of their moisture from the air. We have a great climate for moisture here. We're constantly damp all the time. They're in decline in California because of this, because of climate change, reduced sea mist and fog. The tree can't pump water all the way up, so it requires to get it in from the air, and it's in decline. Believe it or not, we have more sequoias, giant redwoods, in Ireland and the UK than they do in California now.
That's incredible. It's really hard to believe that. Now, you've grown up here on this estate from a boy.
Yeah.
You've probably played in every single one of these trees.
I know this estate like the back of my hand. I have to say I wasn't a very well-behaved child. Typical boy, myself and my brother, we'd roam around the gardens, climbing trees, causing trouble. And I guess karma's come full circle.
You have graduated to be the head gardener here.
That's it. And I absolutely love it. I mean, even on a day when it's not that nice, this is still, you know, you walk out, you see the vista of the Sugarloaf, the Arboretum, and you think, that's my office. This is going to be a good day. So it never gets old.
You must be well familiar then with the biophilia effect as
put forward
by E.O. Wilson.
Yeah, one of my favourite terms. So basically, it's how, you know, humans need to interact with nature. Mm. We're part of this world. So we're part of the habitat, we're part of the climate, and we do better when we're around nature. So it's all about, you know, studies have been done with people in offices looking out at a green space. Their productivity goes up, their mental health goes up, their mood goes up. So it's not about having to be around trees all the time. It's having access to nature and having that kind of symbiotic relationship with nature.
I presume the classic example of that would be the old Mater Hospital in Dublin, where it could look across at the gardens with the trees, and although they couldn't see it, but behind that then you had the secret garden where patients, if they could get out there for a visit. So nature is very important to us. But getting back to the trees, we're really learning a lot more about trees now than we ever knew. For instance, talk to me a little bit about the association of these fungi with the roots of trees.
Yeah, so, you know, you might hear a lot of people saying, oh, trees talk, and books written about trees talking. Look, they're not ringing each other and having a chat or sending WhatsApp messages. But they are connected. So they're connected through the mycelium highway, or mycorrhiza, which is a beneficial fungi. And this connects all the roots. So, for instance, in, say, an apple orchard, if one of the trees gets attacked by a pest or some climatic change or something, they can send signals out to the other trees and say, look, there's a pest coming in, drop all your fruit or conserve all your energy for root production. So this kind of term of trees talk, they do. And they're all connected. They can tell each other about adverse weather conditions, the climate. And you know, I really like that idea that there's a lot more to trees than what we think.
And is it true that we share an immune system, or that we have a similar immune system to trees?
We do, yeah. And, you know, one of the amazing things, I've only found this out recently, is by spending more time around trees, you're going to boost your white cell blood count. And that's fantastic for your immune system. So, you know, my recommendation would be spend as much time as you can in forests around trees. I think in Ireland we need to get better with our overall coverage. We're currently around 11% tree coverage, which is one of the lowest in Europe.
But in fairness, that number has been increasing. We were down at, what, 1 or 2%?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, we're doing fantastic things. And I think it's not just a case of limiting ourselves to our native flora. As good as it is, we have about 30 species of native trees. So when you put that in comparison to North America, who have about 40,000, if we stuck to the 30, we'd be limiting ourselves. So there is new species that we can introduce. South American species are becoming really good. The monkey puzzle, the Ericaria aracrana that we were talking about, over the last 10 years, we've noticed our red squirrel is starting to feed on the fruits. So small little changes like this are indicators that maybe we need to branch out a little bit and diversify our tree population.
But is there any worry there, for instance, with insects and that these insects will associate themselves with these trees?
Yes, absolutely. But look, there's lots of research being done. I think trees won't get past if there's going to be a problem with them. You know, obviously, we don't want to be introducing invasive species like Rhododendron ponticum. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be careful what we do. But, you know, I'd work closely with other big estates and other horticulturalists. And looking at sort of climate matching is one of the really key areas that we're doing at the moment. So we're looking at our climate and saying, in 50 years time, what are we going to be like? You know, we're getting a lot of rain, then we get extreme drought periods as well. So one of the models is predicting that we will become kind of like the Isle of Wight, the south of England, in about 50 years' time. There's plenty, I've been there, and there's plenty of species like the tulip tree, Liriodendron tulipifera, that does really well there. Now, it's not quite hot enough in our climate for it to flower well, but in 50 years' time, it's going to become a really successful plant. So it's future-proofing our gardens, you know, and it's also looking at some of our native stuff, could that come under threat? For instance, native oak, our processionary moth, if that comes into the country, that could decimate our oak population. And one of the replacements for that would be the Mexican oak. And people think, oh, Mexican oak, not native, don't plant it. But it could become a really, really good plant. I'm talking long term. I'm talking 200-300 years down the line.
So what's the future then for trees here in Powerscourt in the next century or so?
So a lot of South American species we're going to be introducing. Keep up our native planting as well, but trying to get the kind of educational side out to people, trying to get it out to growers to start growing these more exotic trees, because if they're available to the public, they'll buy them. The demand isn't there, the growers aren't going to grow them. So it's about getting the demand for different species of trees out there.
And you have a big event taking place in a couple of weeks' time, the Wonder of Trees. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so it's the Wonder of Trees. It's running from the 2nd and the 3rd of November. We've got some really, really good speakers. So it's going to be on a domestic but also a global level as well. So we're not just about Ireland, it's globally. You know, trees are across the world, so it's a collective unit. And we've got walks and talks, we've got panel discussions. It's all going to be about future-proofing. So it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really insightful for people to hear. And, you know, states like Powyskwr, we have been good. All the biggest states, we've been doing this kind of future-proofing for the last 200-300 years. But it's to get that word out to the councils, to the government, that we should focus about it. And you can get tickets, limited spaces, so I would recommend that you get them as soon as possible, and that's online.
And these talks, these are for the general public, are they?
They're for the general public, yeah. Bring kids along. We're going to have really, really good speakers talking about ecology, biodiversity, sustainability and future-proofing.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry Flanagan.